Hey, everybody. Welcome to the TV Click Podcast, Big Brother Week 2. What? I'm Ronnie Karen from Trash Talk TV, and I'm here with Ben Mandelker from B-Side Blog. Say hi, Ben.
Hi, everybody.
And also Matt Whitfield from Yahoo. Hi, Matthew.
Are we really raising the roof like it's 1998?
Well, we have to honor Nick, who said such wonderful things as bra, and what were his like 90s sayings that he kept saying?
He rollerblades. That's all the 90s you need to know.
Yeah, and all of his sayings came from the same decade as the rollerblades.
Yeah.
So welcome to this Big Brother podcast. We're going to be doing this every week. We did not do it last week because it's July 4th, and we believe in independence, and we're really glad that we're independent from the Mexicans. So yay, Army! Thanks for that.
Wow, it sounds like we got Aryan here in the on the web show here.
Yeah, you guys, you have to be as racist and 90s as possible. We have to celebrate Aryan and Nick tonight on the podcast.
You know, I literally cannot call her Aryan. I keep wanting to call her Aryan, and that was even before her racist like side came out.
You guys talk for a minute because I'm going to copy this this link and put it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Watch What Crappens, which is our Bravo podcast, so that people can talk to us and stuff. So you guys talk amongst yourselves while I do that.
I have questions. Benny, Ben, you were on vacation. You are fully caught up on Big Brother now, I'm assuming?
Let me tell you what happened, okay? I went away for a week. I missed 4 episodes, okay? Last night, I was like, I gotta start watching these episodes. You know, the eviction's coming up. We're doing our podcast. I figured I'd watch 1 or 2, okay? I started at 11 o'clock, so I knew I was gonna be tired. I could not stop watching. This season is so good. It has all the perfect right components. I was up till 3:30 in the morning, and I wanted more. It is like the first time in 4 years when I have been like compelled, truly compelled, to go to like Joker's updates and read all the updates. It's great. It feels like all friends.
I have questions. So are you excited this season because of the racial undertone? Not the racial undertones, because of the outright racism and homophobia, or is it just the cast is entertaining and other stuff?
Well, you know, I just love some good old-fashioned racism and some anti-Semitism and some homophobia, so really this show has it all.
It's like going home for Christmas.
No, but seriously, I think actually the racism element is very interesting, actually. First of all, it's given us an amazing villain. For nothing else, it's given us a villain. She would have been
a
villain.
What do you mean a villain? There's like 7 villains in that house.
I know there's 7, but Aryan is like the main villain. And what's great is that she would have been the villain even without the racist stuff. The racist stuff
She would.
The racist stuff is just sort of like the cherry on the sundae or on the frosting on the cake. She
it's
is just a vile...
The cherry on top of the Black Forest cake.
Yes, the cherry on the ice cream cake.
It's on top of the mud pie. Cherry on the mud pie.
Oh, yes.
She does not believe in Neapolitan ice cream.
Only the blacks eat that, according to her. So that doesn't even make sense. I'm not racist, people. I was just making a joke at Aryan's expense.
I know. I was like, whoa, I haven't heard that one.
Okay, yeah. Before we jump into
that classic stereotype about black people and Neapolitan ice cream?
Well, if you're going to go there, we could talk about, do you call them sprinkles or jimmies? I call them jimmies.
No, you can't. That's actually racist. You can't
Why?
Call them jimmies. It's racist.
What is a sprinkle or a jimmy? I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Okay, sprinkles, you know what sprinkles are, right? And you know the chocolate sprinkles? Chocolate sprinkles, I think it's only from like Massachusetts or certain places, they call them jimmies, but it actually has racist origins.
Why?
Well, they're like, I don't remember the actual, the whole backstory of it, but I know it involves like it's a rude... racist reference to black people.
Well, okay, diminutive. When we're talking about an ice cream topping, chocolate sprinkles, jimmies, why would anybody be offended?
Listen, I think we have Aryan right here on our podcast, okay? This is someone, an unrepentant racist right here in that corner.
To clarify, I hate white people. So, I mean,
I
let's
do
just
too.
Get real.
I was just at Disneyland where there's like white, there's every race, and they're all horrible. I mean, you can really see the horribleness of all of our races on display when we're all in a crowd like that. And I have to say, white people were by far the worst. Oh, I mean, in every single category. Yeah,
undoubtedly.
And also, white people, do you really need those scooters to get around a fucking park? Like, if you need a scooter to get around a park because you're too fat to walk from Space Mountain to, like, the Astro Blaster, don't come to Disneyland. You're in my way with your goddamn scooter. Get out of here with your diabetes.
Did you hear that horrible news story a few months ago where rich bitches from Orange County were hiring disabled people to go with their families to Disneyland so that they could get to the front of the line faster? Like, that is something that Tamara and Vicky would totally do.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. Hey, if it works, you know.
Guess what, Matt? You're exonerated. I went to Snopes.com, which you know is the website to debunk or to verify all urban legends. And they say...
Including urban legends starring Joshua Jackson and Tara Reid.
And also the girl from That 70s Show. Yes. But the claim is Jimmy's, the sprinkles used on confections, are so named as a reference to Jim Crow. And Snopes says, probably false. So there is an outside chance that you're very racist, Matt, but we'll let it slide.
Yeah, okay. Snopes also said Obama's birth certificate was real. Just kidding. Just kidding, y'all. Just kidding.
Wait, so what I want to get back to this whole thing, though, with Arian. And I think one of the reasons why the season has been so great off the bat is that we have some really vile people, like really, really loathsome, okay? And they're on one side of the house. This is like season six. There's a faction that has been created in the living memory of David, who is just like Cappy in season six. And they are going after some girl who really has done nothing wrong, in this case, Alyssa, right? And it's like that combination of having an underdog and having these awful people who think they're the best coming after her makes it utterly compelling. And the fact that the underdog has actually now twice escaped her demise is amazing.
It does, because you usually have to watch Big Brother for about 6 to 8 weeks before this kind of stuff starts happening. Usually the popular hot people dominate for the first few weeks and everybody follows along. Nobody says anything. But in this case, the popular hot people were against another hot person who America actually liked, so it was very different.
Nobody likes hot on hot violence. It's
well,
just
that's
wrong.
That's also one of the great innovations of the season, is that because they have such a big cast, they have too many hot people to get along properly, and so the clique is too big to support itself. And when hot people, especially hot girls, decide they hate each other, that's when shit goes down. I always say this. Remember season 10. April versus
Howie?
Keisha. Oh. No, April versus Keisha in the Coven. I mean, just brilliant stuff there.
Sidebar, is anybody else drinking? Because I am. Hey.
I've got to drive after this, so.
Yeah. Why don't you just call Lyft? Have you guys seen those cabs all over town with the pink mustache on front?
Yeah, enjoy them while they last, because they're trying to kick Lyft and Uber out of L.A.
Why?
Uber is my lover.
Because the taxi commission has power.
Whatever. The taxi commission, those old smoking bastards trying to run me down all the time. Yep. Lyft has not pissed me off in traffic yet, so I'm still for them.
So are you guys as equally enthused about the season as I am?
I am super enthused. I was nervous, and I mean, I'll be honest, I was super nervous going into tonight's episode because, in my opinion, had Elisa been evicted, I kind of just would have thought that the whole season would have gone to shit, and I was on pins and needles. I actually watched the East Coast broadcast because I could not wait, and I was at the office, and I was just freaking out the entire time, but needless to say, I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, I was so fucking excited that she survived.
Yeah,
absolutely. I was too, and I love her, like, tarantula lashes, and I love when she won MVP, and she's like, oh my god, America, I'm obsessed. America.
I was like, well, who is she obsessed with? Herself?
I love her. I just love her. She's obsessed with, like, the whole idea of us.
This is a bold statement right now, but I'm going to, because you know I live for Rachel Riley. She is my spirit animal. I'm just going to say that Elisa is like, it's only been like 2 weeks, but she's already up there. I really love her. She's kind of a drag queen, and I mean that in the best possible way.
She's hot. No, I think she's only a drag queen when she puts on makeup for the eviction shows, because otherwise she's actually really hot.
I think she's quite beautiful, actually.
Yeah, I do
she's
too.
She's like
a
Rachel who didn't let herself go and isn't pretending she's anything other than a stripper, really. I mean, well, she's not really. She probably really is a yoga teacher, which
I think she has. Do you see her arms? Her arms are jacked.
Yeah. You guys, before we move on too much, I was wanting to play this. What am I doing here? We've never done this on here, so I'm not really sure if I'm doing the right thing, but I want to play a YouTube video. Do you guys even know how we do that on here? Okay, never mind, Ben. Go ahead. I'll try and figure it out while you talk.
Well, I barely even remember my point.
Alyssa's hot, and she does yoga, and her arms are jacked.
It's gone. My thoughts were gone. I should have written it down.
Let's talk about the going into tonight's episode, where we stood, and then we'll talk about what happened on tonight's live eviction.
Yeah,
so going into tonight's episode, a lot of shit went down this past week. Obviously, the head of household this past week was the Aryan bitch, Aryan, and her nasty evil henchman was Jeremy, who is as equally disgusting. And we have to say that, you know, before I even get into this, Aryan is a horrible person for being completely racist, but we can't rule out Gina Marie is also racist, Jeremy is a misogynistic, homophobic motherfucker too, and same with that railroad conductor who gets bonus points tonight, but he's also a homophobe. So it's not just Aryan that we hate a lot of people.
Yeah, okay, could you guys explain to me what all this racist shit is? Because I only know what they showed because I don't watch the live feeds because I really hate being spoiled because I love exciting nights like tonight where shit just goes down. It all happens in an hour. I don't watch the feeds.
Well, they showed a lot of Aryan's racist stuff on the show, I believe. I think Gina Marie has actually said some really bad stuff that hasn't she has not gotten her public, you know, walloping the way Aryan has. But Gina Marie referred to welfare as N-word insurance.
Right. Uh-huh. I heard that one.
Which is bad. Apparently Jeremy calls women cunts left and right and meat lockers. He calls them meat lockers and Spencer calls women cunts left and right. And like,
is Spencer that fat bastard train conductor?
Yeah, the one that you thought was gay for a while.
Yeah, well, he's also the one that calls Andy, who is obviously a homosexual. I think that he calls him a fairy. And Aryan also called Andy something terrible, too. Like, when she was like, oh, no one's going to vote for that queer. Whatever that – if the queer were to get head of household, no one would vote for the queer's choice.
And she also said America loves queers or something like that. She also had a confrontation with Candace. And Candace was saying something, and she goes – Aryan says it's asked, not axed. And then she also referred many times that, like, oh, Black Candace is coming out now. Like, Candace got a lot blacker now that she's safe. Da 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 da.
Oh, well, so, I did hear her say, you got to watch out for her because you won't see her in the dark. You won't see her coming for you in the dark.
Yeah.
So,
let me ask you guys this. So, Aryan has gotten, like, obviously a public beat down, and it continued even into tonight where Julie Chen was just like not having it. And Julie's actually on the talk this past week. She discussed it and said that Aryan's comments made her think about growing up as a kid and being called chink and being scared. And
you know, that's so bad. If you upset the host of the show, that's no good.
Right. That's not good. But anyway, so Aryan has been publicly grilled for this. I mean, obviously we read the blogs and stuff, but when you get grilled, this is like groundbreaking that it happened on CBS, and they had a lot of pressure on them this past week to actually show this stuff. I mean, they can't ignore what's going on in the social realm. And finally, CBS had the balls to do this, which I think is a huge deal.
I love it. I love that CBS has showed. I love that they did a segment on it on Sunday night's show. And I love that they addressed it tonight. And I love also that they addressed it tonight on the heels of Julie Chen talking to Aryan and Aryan being like, well, I'm just an open person. I guess America knows a lot more about me. And Julie Chen was like, they do.
And she rolled her eyes. It was fucking TV gold.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love that they're showing this. And some people, there are probably a lot of people out there who say, there are some people who are very drastic and they say, Big Brother should be taken off the air. And there are other people who say, this person should be scolded, da 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 da. I actually think it's totally fascinating watching this girl go like spew her racist stuff, knowing that like the whole country is like, you know, ridiculing her, and that the show itself is ridiculing her.
That's the craziest part about this. These girls don't know it. Gina Marie and Aryan have been fired, and they have no idea what's going on. I mean, you can have somebody like Amanda, who's like the coolest chick in the house besides Alyssa and Helen, go up to this girl and tell her, hey, you're kind of being perceived as a racist, and by the way, don't forget we're on TV. However, these two girls don't realize that once they get evicted from this house, they don't have a fucking job.
Yeah.
That is never happened before.
Yeah. You know, it happened. It didn't happen. It happened with Adam in season 9 when he called the autistic kids he worked with retards. Another great classy moment in Big Brother history.
Okay, well, here's my thing. This is what I was trying to get to. So Aaron has been grilled on TV for 2 episodes in a row now. Are Gina Marie and Jeremy or anybody else or Spencer, are any of these people going to get the smackdown that Aaron did? Or is Aaron getting the smackdown because she said something about Asians and that hits close to the Julie Chen home?
I wonder if it's... I don't follow the live feeds enough to know the answer to this. Maybe someone can respond in the comment section. What I'm about to say was that we don't know. Maybe the volume. Maybe Gina Marie had two fleeting, awful racist things. Maybe Aaron has been like a constant spewing. You know, maybe that's why she's sort of getting more of the bitch edit. But the thing is, the other thing is that Gina Marie too, like.
I'm gonna stop you right there. You can't call it a bitch edit, Ben. She's a straight up bitch.
No, that's what I'm saying. I agree. She's a straight up bitch, and she's so awful and therefore entertaining because she's such a bitch and so vile. She's sour. She's mean. You know, when after she won head of household, the way she lined everyone up and said, "Okay, who here voted for David?" I was like, "This girl, honestly, there's no coincidence that she's named Aryan because she would have been part of the Hitler Youth." Absolutely. She would have been part of any genocide that came her way. I have no doubts. She would have gladly go and, like, mob mentality. She's in Shirley Jackson's lottery throwing stones at the poor family up on the thing.
As a former Big Brother villain myself, I must say that as awful as she is, she makes for great TV. When she did that, when she pointed at people, like, point blank, like, yeah. Did you vote for him or not? I was like, this is amazing.
But what's great about her, what makes her such a good villain, is that she doesn't even realize she's the villain. You know, there are a lot of those people who get on there and they want to be the villain. They want to play a certain role. I think Nick wanted to not be the villain, but he wanted to be a certain type of character on there, which is why his diary room sessions were so
Yeah,
cursed.
He was trying to be the guy who yells. You know how there's always that guy really who has cool. his shirt off and he works out a lot and he yells at the camera like that? Yo, yo!
Shut up. Yo, I rollerblade, yo!
Oh, God, with the yo. Stop yelling. I hope he's on a bus. I hope Big Brother doesn't even give him a cab home. I hope he's on a bus to the like Big 8 motel.
He's just rollerblading his way back to New York City. That's what he's doing. Somehow.
Yeah.
By the way, for those wondering, that's Big Brother After Dark happening right up there behind me. I think that might be Caitlin.
And if any of you guys...
Helen's crying.
Shocker. By the way, if any of you guys are watching...
She got a letter from home and she's crying.
If any of you are watching Big Brother After Dark or TVGN, which is TV Guide Network, throughout the day, Who's the Boss is playing, there's a ticker that runs across the bottom of the screen every once in a while, and I write that shit.
Hey, that's cool. Why do you write the ticker on the TV Guide Network?
Because the ticker on TV Guide Network is brought to you by
OMG Yahoo.
It's brought to you by Yahoo OMG.
Wow, so what? You just watch the feeds all day and write that shit?
I write – no, it's entertainment feed stuff that runs across the bottom of the network. So it's a mix of stuff.
Are you going to mention the TV Click spelled CLIQUE? And you just sort of put it in the feed there very quietly? I mean,
I will. After I shimmy, because I like to shimmy.
Shimmy.
Lydia!
Wait, so let's talk about some of the highlights coming into tonight's episode because we have a whole week's
worth. Yeah, so somebody set it up. I want to know, Ben, why don't you – or Ronnie, you haven't spoken. Why don't you talk about who the head of household was, who was nominated in the lead-up?
I'm really bad with remembering things. Tonight I tweeted out, God, Julie. Julie didn't know that Spencer didn't give Julie got Spencer's vote wrong. Was she even watching the show? And people were tweeting me like, you fucking idiot. No, she didn't. You're an idiot. Are you watching the show? And I was like, oh – I'm kind of not. I'm tweeting. I can't watch the show properly if I'm tweeting. No, you guys talk about it.
All right, I just watched all the episodes last night, it's relatively fresh in my head. So we talked about it. We touched on this, which was that there was an endurance competition, and Aryan won, and she immediately had to put four people onto have-not status. She
went on a witch hunt. Y'all are going to pay for this. Y'all are going to pay for this, and Wick is not accepted.
They really acted as if David had been taken out back and shot in the head, okay? Well, which Aryan is probably very comfortable doing, you know, to people who are not white.
Well, if someone had told him he had a little Mexican in him, maybe.
Yeah, she was like, oh, goodness. I also love, by the way, that when David was evicted and Julie was asking him why he thought he was evicted, he's like, well, you know, I'm a pretty smart dude.
Yeah,
so
I'm a smart guy, yeah.
I'm a smart
I'm
guy.
Just a really smart guy.
So then she puts obviously Alyssa and Helen and Andy as have-nots. And then there's this whole hubbub, like, how could you put Helen on a second time in a row, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know
that she, by the way, she also put, what's that other girl's name?
Candace.
She also put Candace on, and we know that she put Candace on because she's black. Let's just be real.
Oh, obviously. Here's the point that I was going to say before when Ronnie interrupted me, was that I get the sense that there's so much happening that doesn't even make it to the show, because every week or every episode, they sort of just say things, and we just have to assume, take it for granted. Like, they'll say, well, you know, Alyssa, she causes so many waves. Or, like, tonight when they're like, well, oh, McCray, we can get McCray. McCray's on our side. Like, when did McCray come to their side? And when did this happen? And when did that happen? Like, things are just sort of, like, you know, when Alyssa and Aaron just start to hate each other. And why did they just start to hate each other? Like, I feel like we're missing things that people on the live feeds are getting, you know?
Yeah. I hated Aaron as soon as I started watching, so I don't blame Alyssa.
Yeah. Well, the wine incident from last week was a great moment in bitchery by Aaron. So,
okay, let's get to nominations.
Well, so what happened was, even before the nominations, Candace gets bonus points here. Because unlike those idiots from three seasons ago who couldn't figure out the brigade, even though it was right under their nose, Candace sniffed out that there was an all-male alliance called the Moving Company. Which, by the way, I don't know, did you guys see the tweet on the live show today when Nick was evicted and someone tweeted,
yep.
The Moving Company has just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. all right, so nominations. Aaron puts up Helen and Alyssa. No shocker there. Alyssa wins MVP, also no shocker there. She puts up Jeremy because she wants to get a strong guy out.
How delicious. We have to talk about that for a second. It was so delicious because it was like when Jeremy and Aaron won the head of household competition, only one person can actually, in theory, or not in theory, in reality, be the head of household. So Aaron took it. Obviously, it makes sense because her showman's just left and it makes it more juicy. But then that still puts Jeremy in jeopardy. And I love that Alyssa turned around and nominated him. It didn't work out that way, you know, in the long run. But it was funny that she was just kind of like, okay, bitch, well, now you're back in the mix, so I'm putting your ass up.
Absolutely. I loved it. And then then we had the veto competition. Jeremy somehow won this thing. What they had to do is they had to dangle these, like, stuffed animals off of, like, is it mobile? How do you say it?
That was a bunch of brooms from the 99-cent store. I recognized them. Yeah. They were, like, broomsticks painted, and then they had to make, like, a mobile and hang Build-A-Bears off of them. Not even Build-A-Bears. Yeah. They were, like, those things you get out of the claw machine.
Yeah, it was like
as Shakey's,
cheap carnival toys.
Shakey's, yeah.
So the thing is that these people are all idiots, and leave it to Jeremy of all people to figure out that you take the big, heavy ones and put them at the top. Like, why did no one think of that? Like, obviously,
I know that you didn't do it on purpose because of your thick Hispanic accent, but I love that you call him Jeremy.
Jeremy,
because it makes so much sense.
Is it Jeremy or something? What is it?
Jeremy.
It's Jeremy. Mobile. Mobile as in Alabama.
Jeremy. I like Jeremy better.
I like Jeremy because it sounds like you're saying G-E-R-M-Y, which is also apropos.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just call him Cherokee because he's like 1/16th Cherokee. And therefore
I call him Nickel Machine.
I call him Buffalo Fart.
I call him... No, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to get beat up.
So... anyway, the point is this. He somehow wins this veto, which is really annoying. He gets taken off, and then the question is, who is Alyssa going to put up? Because the instinct is to put up Caitlin, who's Jeremy's little fuck buddy in the house.
And, by the way, that bitch is guilty by association, too, because she always seems to be hanging out with the horrible racist people, and whenever they make a nasty comment, she's always laughing. So I put her in the guilty box, too. I'm sorry. Caitlin, she's like the...
She's horrible.
No, but in the first episode, we all agreed, like, oh, she's really pretty, and she's kind of...
Really, she's pretty, she's bland, she's not going to do anything.
Okay, I'll stop
she's
talking.
Evil.
Okay,
she's
evil. Listen, this girl is gorgeous, but I love that she dyes her hair black so she'll be smarter. It's like, bitch, just go back to whatever dirty-ass...
Yeah, she just needs to get some glasses like this, and then we'll think she's a librarian.
Yeah, she'll pull the ugly Betty on us. So I love that, and I love that scene where she was in bed this week, all worried that she was going to be put on the block, and Jeremy was, like, making out with her, and they kept playing that porno music. This is from last night's episode. And he just keeps, like, slapping her, like, literally slapping her vagina. It wasn't even her butt. It was, like, the middle bottom of her butt. And he's like, yeah, baby, don't you worry about it, baby. This ain't emotional, babe. Oh, gross. And he did it so many times, and I just thought, you know what, parents? Make an effort, parents. Make a fucking effort.
He's just, like, a really hateful human being, and he's not even attractive enough to make it, like, somehow worth it. Like, he's got a horrific tattoo right along his chest. He's got, like, Edward Munster hair. He's got
Does he know that wings go on your back? You cannot fly with wings on your fucking chest, stupid. Stupid.
Maybe he's hoping to be taken up like this, like, raptured up, and then his wings are going to take him up. Also noteworthy from last night's episode is we had the budding and now deceased showmance between Gina Marie and Nick, which is more on Gina Marie's side.
Okay, is Gina Marie the last pageant person in the world to hear about Botox? What the hell, Gina Marie?
I know.
It's from botulism, which is because they killed a lot of people. They inject it into your face, and it will stop this part from moving, all right?
Listen, the problem is that she's part of the Staten Island pageant world, not the Texas pageant world. So
like,
she's
there
actually
you just
doing...
take off the yeah. There you just like she's take doing off the well. Sanitary napkins that you got in the practice yard stuck to you.
Yeah, you just rub for the makeup. You just take some ketchup from the little packets of ketchup and just rub them on your cheeks. And that's
the funny thing is, this chick actually thought that Nick was interested in her, and the entire time they've been in this house, Nick has just been dissing her and Jesse left and right. And I really think he's just banging some like dude that's a rollerblade instructor back home.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Like, probably Nathan from season 3.
Probably.
He looked so excited at the broomstick challenge.
Yeah, there's actually...
that little bottom.
He had one of them in his mouth at one point. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw
hell
that.
Yeah. That's on my Instagram, girl.
And then we also had Jesse, who was also chasing Nick around. But poor Jesse, she really... She you can see she wants to be a cool kid, but she doesn't even have a showman. She has nothing.
Do you think she's a virgin?
No, I think that she probably poured herself out to like a truck driver at some point. I don't know.
That's true. Well, the funny thing is it's kind of like McCray, the pizza boy from Minnesota, is getting more play in the house than Jesse.
Yes. Talk about a random act. That is one of my favorite showmances yet. Creepiest showmances. Amanda and McCray.
Why is it creepy? I'm just going to go on record and say this. He is a little rough around the edges, but I kind of get like a little sexy Joseph Gordon-Levitt vibe. I'm alone.
Yeah, you're alone on that one. I think
you're alone in the dark, dude. That's far. You're really far away.
It's like she's just like this guy, these big fake tits and this like battle axe attitude, and he's this guy who can't decide like what to do his left from his right.
It's
and
like Peppermint Patty devouring Linus.
It's just this strange, and honestly, their first hookup, like, she got under the covers, and he's, like, on the edge of the bed, like, he's not even under the covers, and she's there, and she's like, oh, it's hot, let me take my shirt off. And next you know, they're kissing. It's really one of the most bizarre pairings that we've seen. Not since Brigitte Nielsen and Flava Flav got together have I seen such a strange pairing on reality TV.
Okay, so I want to go to the Facebook page and read some of what people are going to say. Lisa has been writing on here a lot, which is hilarious. And Renee is saying, watching the feeds. Uh-oh, if you don't want to hear about feeds, close your ears. If it's something horrible, I won't say anything. But Renee says, watching the feeds, they're all saying terrible things, but Arianne is getting the brunt because she's more animated in her racism. Her Asian comments about nail salons, her comment to Helen to go eat a bowl of rice, and the white fish being superior to the black fish, put Aaron to the leader of the clan. I actually think Gina Marie has dropped the N-bomb more. And Jeremy Spencer have said terrible misogynistic things, but Aaron and her Aryan name, Bambi-esque beauty and total lack of remorse is the poster child for lack of self-awareness. Lisa says, Caitlin, not that hot, and Jeremy refers to her hoo-ha as a meat wallet. Nice. Rebecca says...
We need to clarify meat wallet, not meat locker.
Yeah, my mistake.
Well,
thank goodness we have an ombudsman.
It's not a very good brag about his wiener. Flat, sad, floppy wiener. And Rebecca is saying that people are fighting and going crazy in the house. Ooh, Ben, turn around and see the TV. Are people fighting?
No, Howard's just talking reasonably.
Okay, you guys, let's get up to tonight's episode because there's a lot we still haven't even discussed.
How about when Peppermint Patty was telling Arian that people are mad that she's racist, and she's like, whatever. I mean, that is, I'm not even going to justify that. I mean, they call me Barbie. Bitch!
Yes, that's what we need. That's what we need to talk about, because she assumes that being blonde is like being in a minority.
Well, thank God someone finally said it, you know?
No kidding. She's like, they call me a hot, perfect-bodied, beautiful girl. Like, whoa, you sure told them, girl.
This girl will never get a job again, except for maybe, like, administrative assistant at the Ku Klux Klan. Like, I don't know how she can ever get a job.
Do they have job postings on Craigslist?
They probably do.
Well, you guys,
white family.
You know, this Trayvon Martin thing is coming to a head now, because that George Zimmerman dude is his trial's ending and we're waiting for a verdict, which I was gone all day, but I'm assuming that hasn't come in yet. But
it did not.
One of my favorite things to do is go online whenever there's a story like that. I go online because I love to read the comments. Man, the racist, hateful bullshit comments on these news articles, I mean, thousands, like 10,000 comments, and most of them, like 80%, are so horrible and racist. I think Arian will be fine. Look at stupid Elizabeth Hasselbeck and her stupid ass. She's leaving The View to go to Fox. They're going to be giving her millions of dollars.
You know exactly what's going to happen when Gina Marie and Arian get voted out of Big Brother. They're going to go join a morning talk show with Elizabeth Hasselbitch and Fox News.
Well, they'll go on the apology tour. They'll go on Dr. Phil, and then they'll cry, and they'll be like, I never realized. I guess, you know, I didn't realize the words I said actually hurt people. And then they'll feel exonerated, and then they'll disappear into a Klan rally and never be heard from again.
Arian will find some rich man to take care of her, and Gina Marie, I don't know.
The difference between Arian and Gina Marie is that I think Gina Marie has shown that it seems like maybe it's coming off as more ignorance. I don't know. I haven't really seen her comments, so I'm being ignorant. But she seems like a friendlier person on like sort of like just a conversational level, whereas Arian seems... She's like, she's a racist, and she's also a super spoiled brat bitch, you know?
Yeah, she's just
horrible. There's a big difference with that. Like, I feel like with Gina Marie, if she was confronted with this, she would feel terrible. I would like to think that she'd feel terrible, and maybe she'd try to rectify it or change her ways. But Arian's just like, whatever, I'm blonde. They make fun of me for being blonde.
Yeah, not the same thing. Rosa Parks said the same thing, and guess what? It was still wrong for her to take that seat.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Arian's like, I can't believe anyone would even take the bus to begin with. It's her own fault.
Doesn't
Rosa Parks have Uber?
And I'm honestly hoping that she stays on for a really long time, because she is so much fun, and I cannot wait till they just start ripping her to shreds, because it's coming.
Well, I like that we have a bunch of people that we hate, because this way it's not like a situation where there's like one person we hate when they're gone and the season falls apart, sort of what Matt alluded to earlier. We have like it's like a four or five headed monster, so there'll be some good time to come. I have to say also, by the way, Jessie, I hated her the first episode, and I don't love her or really like her that much, but she's not as awful as I thought she'd be. She's
look, after tonight's episode, a lot has changed. Obviously, we had a scandalous eviction. We have a really cool new head of household. We'll get there in a few minutes. But a lot of people also redeemed themselves, and my opinion on a lot of these people also changed tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't it funny, by the way, that we're rooting for the mom squad? That's the name of their alliance. And it's kind of like the inverse of season six, where... the friendship were sort of
the lamest alliance.
They were like the mom squad, you know, like just moms are, you know, lame. And we hated them. But this time around, we're like, yeah, mom squad, moms, yeah. Like when they were like crying over their kids, I normally hate that shit. I was like, yes, you should cry. You're empathetic. You're in a house full of assholes. Like, I'm glad you guys found each other.
Maybe it's because my biological clock is ticking 8 years later, and it wasn't back then. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, obviously, you know, Rachel Riley, former Big Brother winner, is obviously one of the biggest personalities to ever play this show, and she's a fan favorite. She always will be. She's right there with Janelle. And right. Let's just talk about this for a second.
Whoa, obviously, I'm not putting her up there.
Whoa. Flag this down. What? Rachel Riley was one of the most obnoxious fucking people ever. She was a villain her first season. She was a villain her second season. But everyone was so mean to her in her season that people started rooting for her only because she was getting kicked down so much that people liked to root for the underdog.
Look,
I agree.
You make me feel like I have to defend her now, so I'm just going to say this one thing, because I think me comparing her to Janelle set you people off, so I'm going to say this one thing. Rachel Riley fucking won. Janelle never won.
No. But this isn't about the scorecard because the, you know, you could be an amazing player and then like always, it's almost always awful people win Big Brother. So that's actually something against Rachel Riley. I mean, look at the people who've won this stupid game. But I think I agree with what Ronnie said. Rachel, she was such an underdog and that you sort of rooted for. And in her season, she was the only one, her first season, she's the only one doing anything. And they were really so mean to her that eventually it was that underdog thing. But it was that conflicting thing where you're like, I'm rooting for her because she's keeping it interesting. But she's also kind of awful. Like, you don't, I never like fully embraced her the way I was like bowing down at the altar of Janelle so much so that even in subsequent seasons when she got sort of like worse and worse, I didn't care because I love Janelle so much. It like it doesn't even matter.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Rachel,
we're getting.
Rachel was just so much fun. I mean, Rachel was just such an ass. I mean, she's just so. And that whole "I'm a chemist" was hilarious. It still is.
Yeah.
She's like trying to be like a party planner or some bullshit now. Like
she is.
So you were laughing a lot of times.
She's a former cocktail waitress from Caesar's Palace.
Well,
yes.
Who said that she they saw her applying for like the front desk job at LA Fitness? Who said that? Was that one of you guys or was it someone else?
It was someone here because I heard that.
Either way, what I was going to say.
I think it was my our pal Patrick Gomez from People Magazine.
He told
me that when we played Big Brother Media Day this past year. He said that she was applying to be a fitness instructor at LA Fitness, and I was like, get me signed up to that location.
Well, I think she'd be a good fitness instructor, actually.
Okay, I needed to bring this up. So we got on this Rachel Riley tangent, but what I wanted to ask you guys is, obviously we all like Alyssa/Alisa, whatever her name is,
right.
But it is such an unfair advantage that she is going to win this MVP every week. Is there a point in even having MVP? Do you think they'll kill it off? Where do we stand?
I don't think that she's going to win it every week. I think she'll win in the beginning, but then other people, I don't know, like I could see Helen snagging it once, and the producers are going to fuck with it too. They're gonna give it to Arian for no good reason.
Oh yeah, when Arian's on the block, she'll get it.
Yeah.
No way. No way.
No, Amanda could win it too. Amanda could win it too. You know, the thing is, here's the thing. You're like, I feel like we're all genuinely rooting for Alyssa, for Helen, Amanda. Like we're rooting for them, and we're when they attack someone, we're laughing with them. With Rachel, for instance, we were a lot of times she would do things, and I enjoyed Rachel because I could laugh at her for being so dumb, you know, in her arguments with Brendan, they were so awful.
Well, Rachel's like hanging out with a 4-year-old. She's like really fun and having fun, and then suddenly you're like, oh my god, what just happened? Because she's stomping her feet, and she's like, he was mean to me!
It's like you've fed her.
She get it? I want it!
You fed her too many Dixie cups, and she crashes after all the sugar.
Yeah.
So I have a question now. Where do you think, in terms of like Howard seems like a really nice guy, like a thoughtful guy. But he's in, like, the asshole alliance. How did that happen? And do you think that he's now screwed?
Well, it's also funny because they showed Howard then also in tonight's episode, and I was reading this online as well. He also has been offended by a lot of the comments that were said against black people, and it's kind of like, then why would he ever, you know, at some point, yes, I understand you're playing the game, and clearly I would play an emotional game and be a crazy person and mine and get kicked out immediately, but Howard should not align himself with Jeremy. He should put his foot down and say, you're a fucking horrible, terrible motherfucker, and I can't play the game with you.
Yeah,
well,
I think you should.
It's got to change this week because that is obviously they can count. Yeah, at least some of them can count. So they're going to know that things are wrong with their alliance and shit's going to go down. So that's probably pretty much over at this point.
So I have to say, I just assumed that Alyssa was going home. I thought all this stuff with Nick was going to be just massive misdirection because I was like, well, why... I just could not conceive that Alyssa could stay.
The only person I thought they were maybe going to be able to pull over was going to be McCray because of his relationship with Amanda. Never in my wildest imagination did I think that Jesse and Judd would also be part
of
that
Spencer,
plan.
And Spencer.
Exactly. I mean, did that not blow your mind? I was screaming at the TV.
What was the deal with Spencer? Why did he change his vote?
So, you guys, I read this online as soon as the episode aired on the East Coast. People are speculating that Spencer knew that Nick was going home, so as a result, he talked to... Spencer's the train conductor, right? And who is the black guy?
Howard.
Howard. So Spencer and Howard, the rumor is that Spencer and Howard knew that this was probably going to happen. So one of them threw a vote one way and one of them threw a vote another way so that they could confuse the House. So afterwards, when people were trying to count, they could confuse people there because they kind of saw the writing on the wall that Nick may be going home. That's just what I read in the, you know, immediacy after Nick's dismissal.
Interesting.
Yeah, because that was not a close vote.
Yeah.
7-4, that was a pretty solid defeat. I like it.
And, you know, I have to say, Helen, what I like about Helen, she is a political consultant, and she is articulate, and she makes articulate points, and she seems, she seems to be pretty effective in swaying people. I thought when she gave her spiel to Jesse about the totem poles or whatever, I thought for sure it wasn't going to work, but it did work, at least according to the editing. It made it look like Helen caused that. So it'll be interesting to tell
Helen. Her speech to Arian did not work, but I just thought it was so funny anyway because she's like, listen, I'm not mad at you. It's a good game. It was a good move, but we could work together. No one would suspect it because we don't like each other. So think about it. You know, whatever. Good game. Great job. I'm not mad at you. Okay, so good job, great game. You're doing a great job. We'll talk later. I'm not mad at you. And she's like, okay.
After you told me to go make some rice, I'm not mad.
No.
Yeah. I'm really funny. I'm really good at making rice.
No one gets your humor, Arian. No one gets your humor, but I do.
Well, yeah, Helen's so nice. She's probably like, what? White people don't like white rice. I mean, why wouldn't I make her rice? Like, she wanted some food.
Here's how nice Helen is. I'm going to fast forward just a little bit. She wins HOH, and we'll get to it later. But she, as the credits are rolling, Gina Marie is crying in the corner, and Helen is the one consoling her. This is supposed to be Helen's moment where she basks in being HOH, and she's got to sit there with freaking like racist Staten Island face in the corner, making her feel better, where none of her friends are doing it for her. So
well,
that's
let me
nice
tell you right
is.
Now, that was very smart gameplay on Helen's
Absolutely.
Part. I don't think it's because Helen has some heart of gold. She probably is a very nice woman, but honestly, I think that she's thinking further down the line than anybody else is, and I think that she's trying to secure Gina Marie. Should for some reason Gina Marie end up winning some challenge, Helen is not going to be in the shithouse.
So now, so Nick gets voted out. It's a blindside. Gina Marie starts bawling, and she is... sobbing. She is sobbing. This is like
with her eyes like.
This is like.
It's she's just, like the opposite of a racist impression. That would be like this, and she's like. Wah!
She was like one of the. She's like one of those like sad like westerns where like. The mama like loses both her sons in the war. Like one's in the south, and one like David was the son from the south, and now Nick is the son from the north, and now she's found out. And she's like, oh, my son.
She really is. That is hilarious. I mean, could you imagine if he'd actually fucked her? Oh my God!
No, actually, we can't imagine that. We can't.
I think he imagined it, which is why he stayed the hell away from her the entire time. Hey, can you imagine when we finally kiss? It's gonna be so good.
Jumping. Hey, you want to take a shower? He's like, no. She's like, okay, fine. Don't see my boobs. Okay, I'll show them to you later.
You want to see my Verrazano narrows?
Oh my God. He's just like baseball.
You guys, baseball. Back to the eviction, though. Didn't you think it was kind of cocky on his part? I mean, looking back, I kind of think that when they got up to give their speeches, you know, Elisa was kind of annoying because all she did was ramble off like her fan base.
Sweet and genuine, though.
No, it was sweet and genuine, but it was kind of just like, wrap it up, girl. Like, I saw like the producers of the Oscars, like, wrap it up, red light flashing.
But then had smoke coming out of her ears.
But then we get to Nick, and he starts like saying like some cutesy, funny things like to his
people
in the house, to the swing votes. But I don't think that he did himself. I mean, at that point, I think a lot of people's minds are obviously already made up. But I think that he wasted an opportunity there, and
yeah,
I think that he was so cocky that he thought he had it in the bag, and he didn't.
He was cocky this entire game. He was cocky in his interview segments. He was cocky even before the game started in his bio. He's been cocky the entire time. And, you know, his big mistake was that he started up this stupid, four or five male alliance, which, except for the brigade, always falls apart within 3 weeks. There's always some alliance of about four guys that have muscles, and it just like collapses in on itself within 3 weeks.
But you know what? The past few years, those guys have won. I mean,
It's only been the Brigade. It's only been the Brigade that's won, and that's only because they had a cast of idiots. And the Brigade didn't even do anything. They just sat there. The entire cast just sat there the whole season because no one wanted to make a wave. So the Brigade just could just float along.
Exactly. And that Hayden, cast did a
Hayden
hell of
especially. That's when Hayden won, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy, I don't even remember one thing he said the whole time. I remember that I couldn't look at him. He was cross-eyed. He looked like a mushroom from Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything. He took off his shirt a lot, which was lovely.
Yeah.
And then he won. I was like, who's this guy? I think even when he won, even at the finale, I was like, who's that? Where's Rennie? Where's Rennie?
Yeah. I still pour one out for Rennie whenever I have the opportunity.
Every season, I just wait for Rennie to come back. Why hasn't she been one of the special guests when they're like, a Big Brother legend is back? And it's like, hello, everybody! It's me, Rennie!
I think that's a great idea.
I do, too. And I love that she also dresses like Rip Torn and wears glitter and throws glitter.
She wears turbans.
I had an experience with Rennie. This will be a classic Ben Mandelker name drop.
Yeah, this one I love. I love this one.
But I went to like Fig and Olive or something like that. And
she's not allowed to go. She's not allowed in there.
Fig and Olive. She's like, do you got any room?
No, let me tell you something. So it was the like Fig and Olive did like a 4-day opening party. Like they had a party like every single night. Somehow I got on the list, I think because of the food PR or whatever. I don't know. I got on the list. So I go and I bring my friend Sylvia, who you guys know. And I'm sitting there and Rennie's there. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're so good on Big Brother. Da, da, da. She's like, thanks, doll. Thanks, doll. Then she comes and sits with us. And she's with us like the entire evening. And she's wasted.
So dull.
No. A little Rennie goes a long way. She's great to watch on TV. But when you're like at a party and she's drunk and talking to you, and when she talks, she's like splattering spit on your cheek the entire time.
And she's also probably splattering beignets and crawfish on
you. And then, you know, she starts, and she's like talking. Yeah, it was like Mardi Gras on my face. But
can that be our next podcast, Mardi Gras?
Like, she was so nice. She was so nice. She was so funny. And she was talking shit about everyone. But it was like, after a while, I was like, okay, I want to get back to my friend here. And like, you know, Sylvia she's like, Big Brother is foolish, and she's like, why are you engaging this woman dressed like a clown, you know?
By the way, if you have Rennie's number, she needs to come on to the TV clique : Big Brother.
Oh my God. That's so true. Sylvia is that girl who's like, this is foolish. Why are we talking to this woman?
We should get someone from Big Brother on this. We can get some people.
That should not be a problem, seeing as they all live in Los Angeles.
They do. Well, we might be able to get Dr. Will.
Wait, wait, wait. Were you about to say, oh, well, I'm friends with Reagan Fox. I'm friends with Marcellus.
I already dropped those bombs 2 weeks ago. Right, I was going to drop the I'm friends with Dr. Will bomb, but that's all right.
Yes, and Dr. Will and Boogie know who you are, and they like you very much, because when I met them, they were like, oh, yeah, that's where Ben's from. We really like that guy. How is he? How's his new site? Is he still writing about Big Brother? He's so nice.
I don't know if Dr. Will would come on this because he likes to distance himself from Big Brother, but we could probably get Boogie.
That motherfucker is on Twitter all the time talking about Big Brother.
All right, I'll ask him to come on.
Yeah, ask him to come on.
He'll come on for 5 minutes.
If not, I'll go knock down his door on Wilshire Boulevard. I know where Dr. Tadoff is at the corner of Wilshire and La Brea, or La Cienega.
Yeah, you do that.
You guys want a little... This is a funny one from Renee. She's watching the live feeds. Live feed update. Gina Marie totally lost it tonight after Nick left because she lost the love of her life tonight. She was rocking in the corner with Nick's coffee cup and chapstick wailing away.
Who wants to make $5? Who wants to make $5 that she takes that chapstick into the ladies' room later?
Listen, because you know what she saw Nick the big plan. The big plan was to move out of Staten Island into Manhattan, you know, with someone who has a brain. But now it's like back to Vito in the pizza parlor, you know. And
I know she's not crying because she lost him. She's crying because she lost a lifestyle that she thought she could possibly get.
Yeah, but she's from Staten Island, baby.
It's like she's crying about a tree that got cut down that she never even climbed. Shut up, Gina Marie. That wasn't your tree. That was in a park. Shut up.
And that was a tree that only lets other trees climb it.
Yeah, it was in a very gay park in gay West Hollywood.
It was like a weeping willow, let's be honest. The gayest of all the trees.
Yeah, I mean, that guy stopped short of putting a penis in his mouth, but barely. Only because there wasn't one in the house.
Only because he already had a mobile stick in his mouth instead.
Speaking of, I would like to thank casting for one season for giving us a gay guy that I actually like.
Yes, I love
that. That has never, ever, ever happened on this show. I really like him. He's so sweet.
He's funny, too.
Excuse me, why do we like him? Is he that awesome? No.
He's funny. He makes funny comments. First of all, again, in his bio, he said that he was training the family cockatiel to refer to his dad as a girl, which is hilarious.
Okay, that's and fine then, and all, but what has he done on the show so far that's been amazing?
Well, he keeps on calling Aryan the devil.
Yeah, when he said the devil... What did he say? Something about the devil having a baby.
He goes, the only thing that was good about going to the head of household room is that I finally got to see baby pictures of the devil.
Yes, thank you.
Like, honestly, that line is a great line. And also, Amanda has some good lines, too. Amanda has good lines.
And I sometimes think that this show I always think it's scripted, but sometimes I really do think it's scripted because... they really plan out who you see and who you don't see. Like, the fact that you haven't really seen him means that he's going to be around for a long time. It's almost like they burn off. The ones they show in the beginning a lot are always the ones who get burned off.
Well, they have a limited amount of time, and if there's stories going on with people, if people are getting into fights, and if people are involved with strategizing, they're going to get the camera time in the beginning. So it just
believe that Judd is going to win the whole goddamn episode, or the whole season.
No, he'll have his moment. He'll burn out in the middle of the season, I think.
The first frog hunter to ever win Big Brother. It could happen.
I think he's going deep.
Okay, so let's see. Nick is voted out. He has his interview with the Chen bot. He's totally rattled.
Wait. I want to talk for a second. Did you got, like, the most important thing to me was to look at Jeremy and Aaron's reactions when Nick got voted out. It was delicious.
It's exactly how I imagined they would have reacted had they known about Doma being shot down.
Oh my God, there's going to be fags in church. That was what their look said.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hearing weird noises over. It sounds like a little
goat. You guys, I'm doing this on my kitchen counter because there's lights here, and otherwise, like, my house is lit, like, I don't even... It's like a cave in here.
Your house, I'm going to say, is the darkest fucking house I've ever been in, and I don't mean that in a racial way.
I've never been into it, so I can't comment.
It is. It's really dark. Like, the only lights in here really are, like, Christmas lights. Like, there's no real lighting in here. There's no, like... It's all lamps. There's no real light, you know? So, anyway, I do it right in front of my kitchen pendant lights. Yeah. And I've always done podcasts like this one when I used to do video podcasts, but... the stools I have are like those American Idol stools, you know, like those big, tall, plastic space stools.
You keep doing stuff like this.
I do? No. Oh, my God. I guess it does look like that. A giant one. But it's like these big plastic space stools, and they're so uncomfortable, and especially when I gain weight, like when I'm on the heavier end of my 80-pound flux, I can't sit on this. And I'm chafing just sitting in the chair.
That's what I'm going to stand up.
This evil stool, I hate it.
It looks like you bought that at maybe TJ Maxx with Gretchen Rossi.
Yeah,
I stole this from a restaurant I used to work at. I stole two of them.
Are you sure it wasn't from a sample sale? A stool sample sale?
Gross.
Okay, while Ronnie rummages around over there, so let's move on to the head of household competition. It wound up
where
being,
I had 5 heart attacks in the span of 3.5 minutes.
It wound up being double overtime. Julie Chen, the Chen bot, nearly exploded. Mm-hmm. She was so angry. She was like, "I need an answer. I need an answer now."
I don't think that she was angry. I think that she had the opportunity to make it extra dramatic. And girl was already rocking a teal jumpsuit, and she was like, "I'm gonna take it to the edge of glory."
I'm sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say she's wearing what I like to call the sleeveless Gumby.
Yeah, I was calling her Asian Gumby on the Twitter. So she looks like... okay, first of all, I love that Julie has no filter this season and is openly hating people. I think that that's wonderful.
Yes.
I love that she was yelling
at people.
Makes for
better TV.
Yeah, and I also loved that in this competition, like in the first time in Big Brother history, everybody was getting those random things right.
I know.
I mean, they had like, they were like, she's like, how many Kleenex are in a box? And everyone's like, 5,022. And she's like, 5,020. Fucking, hey, really?
Right, right. When they had that first playoff question and it came down to like how many bottles of Coke were in all of the different like crates combined, and people came up, except for McCray, everybody came up.
McCray was one.
The dummies
off.
Came up with, right, but the dump, like six dummies came up with quick math and were able to get 168. It blew my fucking mind.
Yeah, right. Those.
Julie Chen, I think, was going to explode. I know you think that she wasn't mad. I think she was like, I think she gets stressed out during these competitions because she always yells at them, but this was like the most she's like really
well,
yelled.
I actually think that Julie was stressed out just like we were, because going into this competition, we knew that Aaron could not be head of household for a second week in a row, but we knew that Jeremy was in the mix. And so when Jeremy went out on question one, I was relieved, but the people that we didn't want to win were Caitlin and, I don't know, Caitlin went far in the competition, as yeah. did Howard, and that put some, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up because they, okay, that cell phone needs to turn the fuck off.
It's not mine. I'm on silent, Rami.
This is for our Twitter, I mean, this is for our Facebook page on Watch What Crappens to hear what comments people are making.
Do you think...
Well, whoever's commenting is rude.
Do you think that Erin has a hard time not being head of household? I think she's going to have a hard time understanding a world where a white person is not the head of the household. I think it'll be very difficult for her.
I can't wait till they go look
an Asian at the head of
Helen,
household.
She's going to be like, I can't live in this communist house anymore. The bunch of fascists.
She doesn't
chopsticks
know what
everywhere.
She doesn't know what any of those words that any of you just said mean, but it's going to be awesome when she's asked to go, everybody want to see my HOH room, and they're going to go up, and it's going to be like, here's Helen's HOH kimono. Here's Helen's HOH wooden shoes. And that girl is going to lose her shit.
She's going to probably ask for fortune cookies up there.
Yeah,
like,
she's
going
to
gonna
go. Get
can
up
have a fortune
there.
Cookie?
Yeah, she's going to get up there, and a car is just going to like run her off the road. She's going to be like, damn it! I told you can't trust those people!
I want Andy to win head of household because I heard him on the live feeds on After Dark like last week talking about how his, you know, they always get a CD. And his CD is nothing but covers of Silent Night.
Who?
Andy, the gay guy. He's like obsessed.
And you all think he's funny, and I am like terrified of that ginger.
Well, I don't think, I think that's weird. The Silent Night thing is weird, but I would like to see what they all say to that.
Gingers have scared me ever since I saw the first Child's Play starring Chucky.
Yeah. And yet you love Rachel Riley.
Well, like she's a ginger, please.
It's true.
Yeah, she's not a tree.
Okay, so you guys... Helen is now the new head of household this week. We obviously know that people like Elisa and Andy and McCray and Amanda are all safe. Who do you think that she is going to nominate?
I think she's going to nominate Meat Jeremy. Wallet, Jeremy, and Gina Marie.
Yeah. I think she's not going to nominate Arian because I think she's going to hold on to that her quote-unquote promise. But
even though Arian never made that promise, right? She never.
No, Arian never committed to.
But
anything.
Ellen's gonna want to show that she's that she holds promises. Which, by the way, is the stupidest thing you could do on Big Brother because no one stays true to their word. The way you convince people to do things is not by like expressing loyalty or proving your loyalty. You do it by making them afraid of someone else. So you start a rumor about someone. Like the way you should deal with Arian is to say that so-and-so said something about her, and then she'll go crazy, you know, or so-and-so was talking to David, although David's gone now. That's how you deal with it. You don't say, I will be loyal to you, I will promise you this or that. No, no. You have to create, you have to plant seeds of paranoia. That's how it works.
Do you think that, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this week the shit's going to hit the fan with that group, because they're not in power for the first time. So this is going to be where they're all on the block, and they've been losing their composure when they're in power. So it's going to be amazing to see what they do when they're not in power. I can't wait.
Do you think that there's any chance that Helen, being as smart of a player as she is, does something a little wacky, whether she decides to put up, you know, a pawn immediately or not go for Jeremy and consider backdooring him later, or is she just going to have to be upfront about it and go either some combination of Jeremy, Gina Marie, and Aaron? Is that obviously how it's going to play out?
I didn't have a whole lot of faith. I mean, you say she's a good player in this and that. I didn't have a whole lot of faith last week. And this week when she was telling Alyssa, you know, you cannot put up another girl. Wait, was it her? Or that was Candace? But anyway, she was also, you know, on that whole boat of don't get rid of, you know, let's girl power and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't think that she was a good player, but everything she's done so far has actually been pretty good. And I'm going to trust what she does. I'm going to go with it because I'm always wrong. Every time I think I know who's going to get kicked off, I'm wrong. I will never, ever win up any kind of a pool.
So let's talk about MVP. And let's talk about who we think is going to be MVP and who we want. Who are we going to officially endorse? Who are we going to tell people to go out and vote for MVP?
Well, I think it makes it more interesting if it's somebody other than Alyssa. And because Alyssa is safe this week with Helen being head of household, I think it would be more interesting for the house if it was somebody else. Now, if Helen had not won HOH, I would have probably endorsed her, and I actually would have thought that she was rising with the fans, and I think that they would have considered her over Alyssa. I do still think Alyssa has it in the bag, but if it were to be somebody else, I do think it'd be fun to have Amanda win it. I think that she's going to end up playing the game too hard and get herself evicted in the next few weeks. However, I really I like the showmance between her and McCray, and I do think that she's incredibly smart, and I like what she's doing.
Yeah, I vote for Amanda too. So we're going to say that the TV Click Big Brother, the TV Click endorses Amanda this week for MVP. So everyone go out and vote for Amanda. How late are polls open? Do we know? Is it just tonight or is it tomorrow?
No, it goes for a few days.
I cannot endorse anybody giving a dollar to CBS.
No, you can do it online. It's free
online.
Online
is free, yeah.
Oh, it is. I take it back. Yay, CBS. You're so great. You know who else is great? CVS, the pharmacy.
Yeah. You can vote for your MVP of pharmacists.
Yeah.
They secretly get to fire someone from the pharmacy.
And if you ever find yourself with some horrible cough in the middle of the night, CVS. Then come home and watch CBS. Which has CSI.
And then sit in a chair from CB2.
And then watch Star Wars and see CP3PO.
CP3PO? Oh,
what's
gosh.
His name?
C-3PO, you almost alienated our entire fanboy fan base.
You guys, Howard is in this episode a lot, Ben. I know you can't see it, but I've been kind of watching it. He's like, he must be doing
the camera's like, he's, I think he's praying. Hold on, let me turn it up.
What do you guys think is going to happen?
Howard's doing something crazy up here.
What do you guys think is going to happen?
Yeah, let's see what Howard's doing.
Okay, I'll stop talking.
Yeah, this is not about you. It's about what's happening on the TV Guide Network.
Okay,
how dare
he's
you.
Breathing. I think he might be. I thought he was praying. He might be praying. He's like sweating. He's like.
He looks like he's pooping.
He looks like he's in the middle of exercise. The camera's getting. He's got like some sweat right here. Right here.
I'm already bored.
He's grunting.
He's either taking a big, nasty shit.
And his eyes are like going left and right. It's like a very intense.
You guys, what is he doing? I say pooping.
I say getting a beach.
No, he was on his knees. His hands are out. His hands were out on like a couch.
Jesse is giving him a BJ.
He's looking around. He looks mad. Looks like something must have happened to Howard.
I would be mad if Jesse were giving me one too.
I can't tell if he's about to cry or not. Like
Jesse's like, you guys, you know, in that live affection, do you think that Julie liked me because I feel like she has a crush on me because I'm so pretty? I don't know if I should date Julie or not, you guys, because I'm so pretty. What do you think? I think there's that guy in the third row. I think he liked me, you guys.
I wish that Jesse were a Jew and that
Candace
she could...
is crying now. Candace is crying.
Wow, Ben really does like to help everybody.
Oh, calm down. She's crying. They're in the bathroom.
I'm trying to watch it through your camera. Who is crying in a bathroom?
So Candace is crying. She's sitting in the bathroom, and Andy and Helen and Alyssa are there consoling her. I think that there was a fight because Howard was all pissed off in one room. It looked like he was trying to like get his zen. She's saying, I think she had a fight with Howard. She's talking about she had a fight with Howard.
But they prayed together. Who fights after they pray together?
Aren't black people supposed to stick together?
Like the fish in the tank.
You're so stupid.
There's been a fight. There's been an issue.
I did love Howard's prayer, though. I'm trying to think of the word.
Oh, wait, someone flipped a mattress off a bed.
Was it Teresa Giudice?
Someone flipped her mattress over.
Okay, can I just tell you this?
I think it's Arian.
When all these people cry this much, they're really stupid, but it really makes for good TV, because more tears, the better.
Why are we watching this show? This show's so stupid. Why are we watching a show and then talking about it for an hour and writing recaps and making videos?
There's nothing else good on TV right now except for the shit on Bravo. So let me ask you guys this.
Stupid.
What do you think is going to happen to the moving company now? What is going to happen with Howard, Spencer, and Jeremy?
Done. Moving company.
They're over.
It's done.
Okay, but what I'm getting at, okay, that's not the responses I was looking for. I was looking for, first of all, Ben to hit mute on the TV set. And then...
Fine. It's so good all of a sudden.
Okay, but do you guys think that Jeremy is going to get pissed at Spencer and Howard or not?
Yes, and it'll be fantastic. I think Jeremy and Arian are going to go crazy, and I'm sure Arian is the one who flipped the mattress. Go on.
Sorry. So do you not think that Jeremy is smart enough to keep his cool and align himself with the guys again, or will he just now have to sail down Shitty River with Arian and Gina Marie?
Shitty River.
Shitty River, shitty river. That shitty river, it just keeps shitting. It won't stop quitting.
I don't know anything about musicals except for in high school I did the props for Showboat, so I know that. Guess what? And you know what? This is so messed up because we're talking about race relations. I made cotton bales.
Oh no!
I wonder why you
like Showboat
those Jimmies so much. Sprinkles.
Just because. Never mind.
You guys, that's what we call a callback, and that means it's time to wrap up the podcast.
Yes, I agree.
So you guys can find us at, obviously, if you're watching YouTube right now, you can find us on youtube.com/theTVClick, CLIQUE.
Subscribe.
Get it? You guys like click, like you're clicking, but it's not spelled the same way. So please like and subscribe and comment on this shiat so we know that you're out there. We will be here every Thursday night after Eviction, probably about 20 to 30 minutes after the show goes down Pacific time. You can find us on our other podcast Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. We're also on SoundCloud now, so you can download the audio of these podcasts the day after we record them, and that is soundcloud.com/theTVClick. So, bye, and you can find...
You should follow all of us on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, you can find Matt on Instagram at Life on the M List. You can also find him on Twitter at Life on the M List. And you can also find him at Yahoo. You can find him... That's it, right, Matt?
On the corner, hey.
Yeah, and you can find Ben. He is B-Side Blog, bsideblog.com. You can find him on Twitter at bsideblog, and you can find him on Instagram at bsideblog, and you can find him on Vine at bsideblog. I'm Ronnie. My website is trash.tv. You can find me on Instagram at trash.tv, and I think that's all I'll plug today.
Okay, I think that Ben should take an Instagram photo of us right now and post it.
Wait, okay, everyone get ready. Ready?
Yeah, how do
Smile.
You do it? Wait, no, don't do it yet. Okay, now do it.
Wait, I think we can do it actually from... never mind.
Did Ronnie just leave?
I think he did.
No! No, what happened?
You're missing.
You're missing.
Something Ben did, it said Ben captured something, and I pressed something, and now I'm just a... I am a thin face, though.
Let's wrap this up. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.